Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Yacht Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Ria. I am your host, and today I am pleased to introduce Joey Mean from the International Association of Maritime Institutions. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much, Ray. Thank you for having me today.
No, thank you for coming on board. The reason that I brought you on board is I saw a press release just the other day about this guest purser program that you folks have out now. Now, prior to talking about that, let's let everybody know, because there may be people out there that don't actually know what a yacht purser is. What is the definition of a yacht purser?
Yacht purser is generally an executive administrator officer who works on board a super yacht. Usually super yachts around 65 meters up would have a purser on board. And their duties are pretty versatile. It's got an awful lot of work that they have to do on board, basically reporting to the captain and the shore-based management teams. And it's anything to do with vessel, crew, guests, administrations, logistics, from accounts to destination management to, I'm just trying to think of all the hundreds of things we've been working on, charter, maritime law, just to name a few, port state control, VAT issues, anything to do with the crew. So it's a certification, etc. So it's a massively wide-ranging job. A purser is somebody the captain relies quite heavily on, and vice versa. They've got to be pretty good at communicating, very resourceful and very well organized, computer literate, clearly, and obviously very good with administration, and have a very, very, very good background knowledge of maritime legislations and obviously accounting and bookkeeping.
Wow.
In a nutshell, there's loads more to say, but that's pretty much a nutshell. I've probably missed a few things, but yeah.
So then I guess it is no wonder why the IAMI has put together a guest purser program.
We've been working on it for some time. The training providers that have been involved in the work group to help create the program are certainly not new to this. So we've pulled in huge amounts of resources, expertise, previous pursers, lawyers, accountants, people that are obviously highly educated and knowledgeable in their fields. And we've created this this program that we are now looking at accrediting for the three training schools that we mentioned in the press release. This is what IAMI does. I mean, the association has many aspects to it. It's a conduit between a lot of the regulators in the UK, educators, anything that's to do with the maritime training and certification. We basically work with and have members of. So we have three big work groups dealing with deck, tech, and hospitality, which is a full range of maritime representation. My job is looking after the hospitality and service side of the industries. And it seemed to be a natural progression to look at the PERSA program. The program we already have in place, which is the guest program, which was born through the Professional Yachting Association many years ago, was taken over by IAMI a few years ago. It's been very successful. We've got many schools around the world. We've got hundreds and thousands of certificates that have been issued. And then people were looking to say, okay, I've got my chief's due. I'm up at that level. So now what? I want to go on to PERSA. Not to say that you have to be on the boats to go into PERSA role. A lot of people don't come from that background. But the progression route is available now if they want to do it that way.
What are the three accredited schools for this
program? Well, we have the Crew Academy, which is run out of the UK at the moment. They also have offices here in the south of France. They've been established for well over a decade. I would say probably 12 years or so for running PERSA training. They're sort of renowned in the industry, one of the first schools that set up to run bespoke yacht PERSA training at that time. So they were very big influence in what we were doing with this program. Then we've got the PERSA trainer, Angie Wallace. She's based in Parma. And she runs an online training platform for the purser. And then we have the yacht purser, which is Sandra Jordan, who is based in South Africa. And she is doing a similar thing to Angie, where it's an online-based training course. The biggest thing with this training that we've approved is that there's a lot of blended learning within it. We launched due to COVID. One thing that came out of it that was good for us in this sense, a blended learning directive through the IRME accreditation scheme, which meant that the training providers could offer a combination of workshop practical when people could get there, and online, a face-to-face, one-to-one, or webinar-type training programs, whichever suited their cohort. So this kind of naturally led actually into the Purser Trainer, because now we've got the facilities and we've got some fabulous trainers out there who are able to offer it in this fashion. And they spend a lot of time with their students, a lot of face-to-face time, a lot of support. So yeah, this is a very exciting project. I'm very happy about it.
Well, and that was going to be my next question, is that this can be done all online, correct?
Yep. The Purser program can be. Some of the other modules within Guest have to have some workshop time, but the Purser program can. We have a lot of, the Crew Academy at the moment has just launched a big platform where there's a lot more interaction involved for the Pursers to do the training through. And I know Sandra and Angie are both doing the same thing or similar things. So there's a lot of project work. There's a lot of interviews. There's one-to-one backup with the training. So yeah, it can be done in an online platform now.
Well, that's great news, considering what the kind of situation we're in right now. People are looking. There's a lot of people that have the time right now to take some courses, and they actually can't do in person as a result of lockdowns or whatever that's going on across the face of the planet. So the idea that they can get into this and do this while we are in this situation is absolutely amazing.
It's fabulous. It really is that students don't have to be waiting for classrooms to start opening again. And I think this is one of the triggers that I think we're quite excited about, is that we're now finding a lot of students that are looking to change careers or change departments on board or from different walks of life. Even we have chefs, for example, looking to come into Purser that have got previous management and previous other experiences that suit the criteria. So it's actually quite exciting to be able to open the doors in this industry, in this sector, for something, a job like this. And boats are getting bigger. We've got more boats over 70 meters now than we ever have. So the demand for Purser has become far more increased, and for sure the demand for trained people is definitely a requirement in this particular role. You got to know what you're doing. This is, it's a big responsibility. There's no room there for not understanding, particularly the maritime law side of things and maritime organisation. So I think, and also we're finding a lot of Pursers now are even on a lot of rotations. So even some of the boats are having two Pursers so that there's a rotation facility there. So that's also something quite exciting to the numbers of Pursers that are suddenly being required in our sector.
Well, and I mean, this could actually be something great for somebody who's looking to leave sort of yachting as being on a boat and going from place to place to place. Somebody who's wanting to come ashore is still work within the yachting industry, because this is a job that can be done from shore as well, virtually.
There's a lot of mapping from the training that you would gain from the Purser course over to a shore-based management role or something similar. Absolutely, for sure. There's a lot of information there that can be transferred from ship to shore. Yeah.
And how long is this program for? Like, if you become fully credited, how long will this process take?
Well, most of the training providers are running this over a 6-month period, but really it's up to the individuals to see how. Usually we would suggest one module a month. Most of the training providers have broken the full program down into 12 units or 12 modules. So that would be a normal thing to do, but you can do it in 6 months. It really depends on the time you have. So that means that those that are working in other jobs, they can do the training and the tuition in their own time and graduate you know, 6 months later or 12 months later, or even less if they get on with it and do it as a full time. If we have a bit more of this horrendous lockdown, you never know, people might be doing it quicker. But yeah, it's really down to the individual.
Now, for those smaller yachts, they can actually, you know, make do with sharing a purser, as it were, which is where, you know, the virtual type purser comes into play, is that they can actually afford to have one full time. But the amount of freedom that it would give the captain from the amount of paperwork that they have to do, and I've seen some of the paperwork that a captain has to do without a purser, this is an absolutely amazing thing to have, so that, you know, maybe four or five boats can, you know, have one purser that sort of does all this for them and frees them up.
Are you inventing jobs here, Ray? Because I haven't heard of that position, but I think it sounds absolutely fabulous. I think it's a brilliant idea to have a shore-based person for hire. I don't know. I think a lot of captains would be immensely grateful for that service.
Well, there you go. I am useful in some ways.
I love it. I'm going to take that to my work group, see if we can come up with something.
Well, I mean, really, at the end of the day, I have seen, you know, smaller yachts, they still have, just because they aren't, you know, 70 meter plus, there is still an immense amount of paperwork that goes into being a yacht captain when you have even 2 to 3 crew. And especially if you're a yacht charter, you're dealing with a management company, you're dealing with an owner. There is so much work that goes into that. And sometimes I think it does take away from the captain's ability to do what a captain is supposed to be doing, which is captaining a yacht. So for them to be able to, you know, send this other stuff on to somebody who's capable and trained and who is an expert in this would be so much better.
It absolutely would. And I couldn't agree with you more. I think the role of the captain has morphed into something so much bigger over the last decade. I think the ISM has really brought the paperwork and the filing into play. And I think a lot of the management companies don't really appreciate so much, I think, how much work they're actually creating for a captain with the accounting and the constant updates. And I speak to a lot of captains in my work, and I would say that there's not one single one that I've ever spoken to that have got, oh, I'm going to have an evening off tonight. They are literally full on flat out. And I do think it does impact. I think it impacts their relationship with the rest of the crew and their availability for the rest of the crew. I think it impacts their mental health as well. There's the stress and strain of the deadlines that really maybe could be managed by reducing the workload for management companies, or being managed better by the management companies. I'd like to personally see a change on that, but it's difficult to, but that's not what we're doing here. We're doing a purser, but yeah, maybe the light at the end of the tunnel is that we recommend some purser activities for boats when they need it from some of our qualified students. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that would be wonderful, because I think most captains get into being a captain because they have a love for the sea, they have a love for the ocean, and they have a love for whether it be sailing or motor yachts, but it's to be out on the water and it's to be doing what they love to do. And a lot of them start off as stews or deckhands and sort of work their way up, and to all of a sudden be sat at a desk in front of a computer answering emails and putting together spreadsheets, I think is probably the last thing that any captain ever imagined, whether it be 5 years ago or 10 years ago, that they would have to be doing, more so than doing what they dreamed of doing.
That's absolutely right. And I think as well, you know, I would invite captains to even come on the course, because to be honest, I think a lot of them don't have the opportunity for that training through any of their maritime qualifications. There's not a huge amount of the actual onboard activities in that we've just talked about that are actually part of the maritime training. So, you know, I think this could even be interesting for them to do some of these courses. Yeah.
Well, and you hit the nail on the head there, because, you know, as a captain's job, that really sort of hasn't been thought of as part of a captain's job in the past. So all of their training has never really encompassed every little bit of thing that they need to know in order to be a captain in today's day and age. So I definitely would think it would make the transition easier for them, I think, you know, with the bit of maritime law and all of the other bits and pieces that they probably never ever had to be exposed to.
Yeah, I think some of it is there, but maybe not so on trend to where we are currently. I think, you know, Master 3000, for example, would definitely be covering their maritime law qualifications. It's a 5-day module. So there is that, but it's not necessarily on trend to what we do on a daily basis on the yachts. And I think that's something that, again, could be a good refresher, if nothing more. But yeah, I think for the purses themselves, those coming through as a looking at a purser career or looking for a new career that would be interested in this, you know, all I can say is that what we've developed here is pretty robust, and we're very confident that it absolutely covers what the students will need. But more importantly than that, or as importantly, I should say, there's a huge network of support behind them. So any of the students that come through the training providers work, although they're independent, they work together within the work group that we formed under IAMI. And, you know, it's a huge support there. So if anybody needs some help or they need advice or there's an issue with their job or a problem that they've got, we've got all the experts that they need at hand to be able to help and assist and answer and support them. And I think when you're coming through a training school, the investment you make isn't just the education or the certificate, it's actually the bonds that you make and the connections that you make and the trust that you have and the people that are there to help you. And that's what we really want to provide to the students coming through this.
Well, and let me ask you then, when they're finished their training and they become accredited, is the International Association of Maritime Institutions behind them even after that if they need help?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Through the Maritime Hospitality Work Group, yes. And that's how this has been formed. It's been created underneath that guise. So it's you know, the support is there and the expertise is there. And we'd even join, you know, invite the persons who are out there to give us feedback as well, you know, and even be part of the development and the ongoing progression of the updates and refreshes that we will need to do for sure over the years with the program. Nothing is static in our industry. Things change quick. So we have to keep up on it with the training models as well. So, and the information that we're teaching. So yeah, it's a great community. We have that already with most of the people doing advanced levels in the guest program. We have a lot of support there. A lot of the trainers stay in touch with the students, follow their careers, give advice. So this is going to be the same, if not more robust from the purser's point of view.
So if people are interested in taking this program, what is their first step?
Well, they can either get in touch with any of the three approved purser trainers and find out if they would be eligible. There is a discretion to eligibility for a candidate. It's not a big ask. It's just to make sure that they would suit the program. For example, they need to be computer literate. They need to have various qualities coming into it, because the expectation at the other end, when they've got the certificate and they've had the education, we need to make sure that's suitable. But yeah, get in touch with any of the three training providers. I mean, if not, you can come through the guest website. There's a contact form on that, and I can answer you, or someone in the office can answer and give you the details of the schools.
Wonderful. Well, we're going to make sure to put a link to all three of the accredited schools underneath this interview, as well as yourself. And I'm really looking forward to seeing the results, and hopefully you'll come back on board and let us know about your first round of students and how they fared.
I'd absolutely love to, and I'm sure they're going to probably even like to come and have a few words themselves as well. Yeah, thank you very much, Ray. I'll keep you posted.
Wonderful. Once again, this has been Jodie Mean. Joey. She is from the International Association of Maritime Institutions. And if you are interested in becoming a yacht purser, well, there's nowhere else to go. You've got it right here. Thank you again. And tune in for another episode. My name is Rhea. I have been your host.